Jesus is saying to his disciples, be ready, be prepared for service. And when we think about it, there was an organization that was very big into this, set up around 1911, I think it was, but very big in the early days of the Boy Scouts and the Girl Guides. What's the motto of the Boy Scouts?
Be prepared.
Oh, wow. So enthusiastic, but that's the be prepared. The Boy Scouts and the Girl Guides, it was be prepared. It was be prepared in your mind, be prepared in your body, be prepared for action, whatever it's going to be. It's an attitude that you might take, particularly if you're going on an expedition. You'd be prepared. You'd take everything, all of the first aid kit. You think through possibilities. You take your compass and your map. It'd be an attitude you could take to a financial realm, couldn't it? You'd be prepared. You say, I want to be prepared for worst case scenarios financially. It could be a be prepared for health, that kind of attitude we can take it. Be prepared for things. Be prepared for the future. Be prepared for whatever happens. Have your body ready so that you're ready for action, whatever it is. And this was an attitude and training up young boys and young girls to be ready in all situations and to be prepared as responsible people. That was, you know, became really big in, you know, 1916 onwards. But what's the modern equivalent of this? What is it? Yeah, the modern equivalent. So, you know, just the last few years, what would you say the modern equivalent is?
YOLO.
YOLO, maybe. YOLO, you only live once. At the 8 a.m. service, they said the modern equivalent is make sure your phone's charged. Which is better than the one I thought. I put this one, stay woke, which is maybe some people don't know what that means. That's probably a good thing. But it means, woke means awake. The idea is that you've got to be awake and ready to see all the injustices of the world. And so you can spot at a mile any injustice and you can protest it. That's kind of the old, you know, the Boy Scout was like act locally and be ready in your own life to be prepared. This is more global and be on the lookout for any injustice that you can see. Be ready. Be ready. I'm not going to make too much comments about that. Except to say that Jesus calls us to be ready and be very ready. And he's teaching his disciples and he's on his way to his death. He describes his death in many ways. One way it's described in the passage is this is a baptism he has to go through. He has to go through this really hard time. He is going to Jerusalem to be killed and betrayed and to rise again. And he teaches his disciples about what it means to follow him, about the religious hypocrites. He warns against them, we saw a few weeks ago. He warns about money and about fear and worry. And he's just continuing his teaching. He's talked about your treasure and storing up things for God, and then immediately afterwards it's be ready for service. I think he's applying everything he said. Be ready for action. If you have a Bible with a footnote, you might have noticed on the bottom of the Bible it says, let your loins be girded. That's what be ready is, literally, let your loins be girded. Who girded their loins when they came to church today? Most of you did, I think. It means put on your pants, or wrap up yourself. More literally, it was people had wore the long flowing kind of robes, and, you know, it could have been as a sign of dignity. It could even be something you slept in. And then when you got into action, you tie it all up and then you can get onto action. So it's kind of a way of saying, this expression, gird your loins, is a way of saying, get prepared. The Bible is actually full of examples of this, but most of them are just translated, be ready. But when they ate the Passover, this is old-fashioned English of the King James, when they ate the Passover, they were told to have their loins girded, and their staff in their hand and their sandals on their feet, and to eat in haste. Be ready to leave. There were passages where God talks to Elijah when he goes on for a run. The first thing he does is he girds up his loins so he can run. There's even, if you think it's just a man thing, it's not. Proverbs talks about the woman of noble character and saying she's not just a princess in a dress. She girds herself up for action and she strengthens her arms. And the New Testament talks about the belt of truth, girded with the belt of truth, and particularly this one, in 1 Peter. Peter was one of the people who heard Jesus. He asked a question, and Peter says, gird the loins of your mind. So it's like, can you imagine that picture of be mentally ready. Get that the girds, the loins of your mind all ready so that you can be prepared for action. And Jesus says, get ready. Get ready. Have your lamp lit and get ready. It's like the person standing waiting for action. And I think he's telling this in the context of the hypocrites. You see, the hypocrites, the religious leaders he'd just spoken about, and he might have been listening, the religious hypocrites were ready on the outside, weren't they? They had their life sorted out. They had their religion, and they've got it made. Because people, they would wear long robes. People would be always praising them. They would put the fear into people. They could treat people as they liked. They could conspire together. And they were ready on the outside. It was also in the face of Jesus just taught about the rich fool. The rich fool we saw last week who had everything. He had so much that he thought, I'll build bigger barns and store my things and then sit back and relax and have my life under control. In a sense, they both were keeping the scout's principle of being ready. In their own world, the religious people were ready. They had their lives sorted. But they weren't ready to meet God. The rich fool is the most ready Boy Scout, Girl Guide person possible. They planned and planned for every situation, except for one. To meet God. And Jesus is saying, don't just be ready on the outside. Don't just be ready with your plans with money. Be ready to meet the Lord. And that's why he says this, be ready for action. He calls them to be like those waiting for a master. Yeah. Is that everyone's dog? Waits for their master. I tell you, hardly any cats do that. You must be like people waiting for their master to return from a banquet so they, when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. Ready listening, waiting for him to come. Ready for action. With the loins girded and your lamp ready. The picture is just be alert, be ready, because you don't know when he's going to come. Sometimes my kids get hide and find little spots and then surprise me when I turn up. It's really nice. I really love it. But other times I turn up and it's kind of like they wish I hadn't come. Someone told me this morning about how their kids had a... they walked in once, came home early, and the kids had a pumpkin fight. A pumpkin fight. And when they walked in, they were cleaning up pumpkin off everything. Smashing pumpkins and things. One time, Ruth, my wife, went away for a week. With just first year of marriage, she was doing a bit of extra study at Armidale. She went away for a week and she rang me saying, I've come back early. And like, I'm only 10 minutes away. And I thought, that's so good. I'm so glad you're home. But I hadn't cleaned up and I've never, like, I was just so sad you were gone. And anyway, I cleaned up everything. She walked in. She was so excited because the house was spotless. But then I opened the cupboard and it was full of full of all the dirty plates and things. So. Doesn't bring glory. But we should be ready for those waiting for the master. Wait, ready for God. Not ready on the outside, but ready for the Lord. There were, in case you think a church couldn't, you might think, oh, no Christian or church would ever not be ready. I just want to remind you, and we're not going to read the whole thing. Jesus wrote to a church in Laodicea who were lukewarm, and he said to them, just that last verse, listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have dinner with him and he with me. He's talking about be committed and repent. The victor I will give the right to sit with me. There are people at the church who thought they were so rich, so had such great sight. And Jesus said, you know what? You're poor and you've got no spiritual sight at all. But he says, I'm calling you. I'm going to knock at that door. Will you let me in? We're meant to be those waiting for a master. Jesus actually said it's like the hour is going to be unknown. He's going to come like a thief in the night. He says, verse 38, if he comes in the middle of the night or even at dawn and he finds them alert, those slaves are blessed. He's not going to come just when they expect it. But know this, if the homeowner had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into. You also be ready because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect him. He's saying that he's going to come at a time where it's not the time when necessarily the church is on mission, or the time where you've got your prayers all sorted, or the time when you're just ready. He's going to come an unexpected moment. I think this coming of the Son of Man is number one, the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I also think these principles apply to our death whenever we'll meet the Lord. And I think these principles also apply to the first coming of Jesus Christ, because he's coming at a time to these leaders who weren't ready. And I also think it applies at just times whenever God brings his judgment onto the world, into a situation. But particularly when Christ returns, or when we die to be with him, whenever we face the Lord, be ready. But listen to the beautiful promise. This is the bit that really got me. I couldn't even find a picture to describe how fantastic these words are. Listen to what he says. Those slaves the masters will find alert when he comes will be blessed. I assure you, he will get ready. The master's going to gird his loins and have them recline at the table and then come and serve them. It's an astonishing picture. When the master finds his servants ready, what's the master going to do? He's going to gird his loins, he's going to get ready and have them recline, and he will serve them. This was something that really spoke to me very loudly this week, because I've always knew that when Jesus came the first time, he came as a servant king. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to not to be served, but to serve. But sometimes you think, well, that's just the first coming. He's doing that to show us what to do. It's a visual aid. But at the second coming, that's not going to be the case. Jesus is saying, at the second coming, it is. At the second coming, the servant king will still serve us. The one who laid down his life will still lay down his life. The one who gives will still give. The Bible is unambiguous that we will worship Jesus Christ. We will serve Jesus Christ. We will adore Jesus Christ. We'll praise him. We will live for him. We'll be doing things in his service, showing our love, but he will still serve us. That's called grace. It's grace in the gospel at the beginning, and it's grace we look forward to when he returns. This is the boss you want to wait for. This is the Lord you want to be ready for. See, it's not a boss we're waiting for to destroy us if we're faithful. It's the boss we're waiting just to bless us and bless us and bless us, and he calls us, get ready. Well, Peter's question, our question is, well, is this for us or is this for others? That's what Peter says. And Jesus basically gives the answer in the next statement, which is, yes, it's for you, but it's also for others. And he tells the story of the faithful manager, which is like the foreman over a job, the person who's meant to be in charge when the boss is away and just making sure that everyone's doing the right thing. Nerd alert, like Lord of the Rings, the chief steward of Gondor was meant to wait for the king. And those who said, when the king came, he wasn't happy. The thing about this faithful manager idea is that it's one of the slaves, same as everyone else, is put in charge. That was a very common thing. And Jesus is saying, if you are a slave and put in charge, watch out. I actually think this whole section is about leadership. It's a warning about leadership. And he says they've got to do the right thing. That who is the faithful and sensible manager his master will put in charge of the household to give them their allotted of food at the proper time? That slave whose master finds him working when he comes will be rewarded. This is what they're meant to do, be providing for the household, caring for them. They're meant to be feeding the sheep. They're meant to be loving and caring for those under their authority. This was true for the religious leaders of the time. This was true for the kings that had ruled over the people of Israel. That's what they were meant to do. This was true. This is true for Peter. It is for you, Peter. And all the disciples and anyone in leadership in churches, those who run youth groups, those who are leading their households, those who have been entrusted with a lot, those in church leadership. And he says they'll be blessed if they do what is faithful and right and actually provide for the others under their care. There are many warnings in the Old Testament about this. And I think it's really in the context. The opposite of this is those who don't do it. Look what happens. He says, verse 45, "But if the slave says in his heart, 'My master's delayed in his coming,' and starts to beat the male and female slaves and eat and drink and get drunk, that slave's master will come on a day he doesn't expect, at an hour he doesn't know, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers." Jesus' warning events have the heart of a hypocrite. The religious leaders of his time. This is the warning for them. You're ready on the outside, but you're not ready for meet the king. And you're actually using your position to attack and abuse other people under your care. You're eating the sheep rather than feeding the sheep. You're building something, but it's not for God, it's for you. They've got the same attitude as the rich fool. The rich fool who thinks they're very wealthy and just can live off their money and not care about God is... Put that in the heart of anyone in leadership of the people of God, and they think the delay of Jesus is a chance to beat the male and female servants, eat and drink and get drunk. And I think God, if people here and now don't get caught out for abusing the church, the judgment of God will be very, very severe. Very severe. On those who've used any position of authority to feed themselves rather than the Lord. And God's word is full of warnings about this, and I won't read that one, but you can look up Jeremiah 23, a word against shepherds, the leaders of Israel, and God says, "I'm going to raise up my own shepherd." There are warnings about being, not many should presume to be teachers because of this truth. When the boss comes, he's going to be extra hard on the foreman. More than the workers. Extra hard on the steward rather than the soldier. Extra hard on the faithful manager rather than the other slaves. This is God's expecting more of some. Those who have been given, much will be expected. I think at the first place, Jesus is talking still about the religious hypocrites of his time. You guys had the whole Old Testament. And when the King of Kings turned up, didn't open the door for him, did you? You slammed the door in his face. In fact, you conspired to kill him. This is God's word for those, this side of Jesus, who are acting the same as those religious hypocrites. Talk about Jesus all the time, but you actually don't want him to come. It's a very strong word. And I think it's the warning about... It's the warning about where our treasure is. If we think that our treasure is just using the stuff in the household for ourselves, we won't want the master to arrive. But if we think the treasure is the master, then we will serve and use and provide and be like that dog waiting at the door, be like that faithful servant girded up the loins with a lamp lit, and our treasure is the one who will come. Or, as Peter, who asked the question, saw beautifully, with your minds ready for action, that's girded your minds, be serious and set your hope completely on the what? On the grace brought you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, it's going to be grace. What's he promise? That when he comes, those who receive him are going to be, he himself will serve us. He himself will get us to recline and sit and eat with him and get treated like undeserved, like we don't deserve. Jesus really calls us to be like the Boy Scouts and the Girl Guides, be ready, but not in the worldly sense only. Sure, be ready when you go for a camping trip. Sure, be ready financially. Sure, make those decisions. Sure, plan for the future. But to be ready to meet God. Be ready for that grace to be revealed. Unlike the hypocrites, we've got to be ready. We realize, like we saw the last few weeks, don't worry about those who will kill your body, but worry about the one who can throw you into hell. We've got to not worry about the money just for the setting up of this world. If we think that our treasure is just here, then we're going to worry about money, and that's fine. But if we think our treasure is to come, then we're going to be using our money in His service. Seek His kingdom, as you said in a few verses before. And these things we provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because the Father delights to give you the kingdom. These are warnings to stir us to action. The warnings we've got to take seriously. Those in leadership, take these warnings serious about the managers. Those not in leadership, take seriously the warnings that you've been given a lot. You know a lot. More is expected from you. But lay hold of the promise to be ready. I don't think that means we always have to be on the hyper-vigilance readiness like of a... It doesn't mean you kind of whip yourself up to readiness all the time. I think it is like that Boy Scout or Girl Guide thing of just saying, I'm ready. I'm ready for the future. I'm ready to meet God. Used to be old questions you'd ask people to work out if you're a Christian. You say, if you died tonight, would God let you in to His kingdom? That's a pretty important question. And then you say, well, on what basis? Why? For us, fundamentally, it's because He gave His life for us. The biggest way we're ready is by faith. Be ready. But and when we have faith, is well, if that's the case, let's live our lives in that faith. With our money, with our fears, with our worries. With caring less about the outside and more about the inside. With caring less about the treasures here and more about the treasure to come. Who is the Lord? Who will? This verse here. Very moving and wonderful verse. We can be like the hypocrites and the fool, or we could just treasure this verse. The slaves, the masters will find alert when He comes. We're blessed, I assure you. I assure you. He will get ready, have them recline at the table, and then come and serve them. Let's pray. Father God, we do pray for every one of us that we will be ready for You. Thank You so much for the testimony we heard a few minutes ago, which was amazing. Father, thank You for the ways You've worked in many of our lives. Help us be ready for eternity. Pray for anyone here who's not. Maybe we might be very ready on the outside or very ready with our money here, but we're not ready to meet You. Father, I pray that in the Lord Jesus Christ, that those people would find You, trust You, believe in Your promise. And for those who have, and those in charge, and those in responsible positions, in leadership, in different ministries, Father, I pray that we will be working not for appearance, but for You, and seeking You. Help us to use the things You've given us, not for our own sake, but for Your coming. And Father, if there's anything we need to repent of, we lay it before Your throne now. If there's any sins we've committed in this way, forgive us. If there's things we need to change, fill us with Your Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name.